Okay. It was suggested that we say something about sadhana bhakti. So what I'll do, I'll read a couple of verses, I'll read a few verses from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, so I'm going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 12, devotional service, and I'm going to begin with verse 8, but I'll read also 9. I'll read 8, 9, 10, 11. These are about different stages or levels, like that, of practice of Krishna consciousness or development of Krishna consciousness. Okay, so this is now chapter 12, verse 8. Mayeva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva ata urdvam nasamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. Here, in this verse, basically, Lord Krishna is explaining, describing very advanced level, where you're just automatically Krishna conscious, just fully remembering Krishna, just spontaneously and naturally. So then, Lord Krishna, what he does now, this verse 8 is describing highest level. Then 9, if you're not on that level, then a level down. See if you can manage that. And then the next verse 10, if you can't manage that, then see if you can manage another level down. So each verse is going step by step down. Ata chitam samadhatum nashaknoshi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dananjaya. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. And now down another level. Text 10. Abhyase pyasamartosi matkarma paramo bhava madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. If you cannot practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. And verse 11. again coming down. If you can't do that, then try this. Ataitad apyashaktosi kartam mad yogam ashrita sarva karma pala tyagam tata kuru yatatmavan. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated. And then last one, if you can't do that, text 12. Shriyo hi jnanam abhyasaj jnana jnanam vishishyate jnana karma pala tyagas tyagas chantya anantaram. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action, for by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. Anyway, the main thing in this last verse we just read is if you can't renounce anything, at least cultivate knowledge. Okay. So let's have a look at each of these verses. Let me just read the first one again. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. So this is a very high level of Krishna consciousness, where you just automatically, naturally, just remember Krishna, just think of Krishna, and you don't think of anything else, and you're just not interested in. It just doesn't occur to you to think of something else or take an interest in something else at all. Nothing. Simply remembering Krishna always, 24 hours a day. Just remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna, his who he is, thinking of what he looks like, the beauty of Krishna, thinking of Krishna's qualities, amazing characteristics and qualities he has, and thinking about his different pastimes, then thinking about his different instructions. All these different things, just thinking about Krishna in these different ways, and not having, never having to struggle to remember Krishna and sort of fight with your mind. Fight off any other ideas which may be trying to come into your mind. Try and push them away. No need. You're beyond that completely. On the level of natural, spontaneous, and complete attraction to Krishna. This is very advanced. I think you all, you know, you're all devotees, you're practicing, trying to practice, and I think you would have had experience sometime. Have you, any of you ever had the experience, you're trying to chant your rounds on your beads, but your mind starts thinking of something else? Did it ever happen to any of you? Once? twice. See, the thing is, we are very conditioned, habituated. We've been in material life so long, it's just sort of pervading our being. You know, we're just so used to it. And now we're coming to Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is there within the heart, actually. But the problem is, we do not have so much contact with our hearts. We're more in our minds. And our minds are full of all this, all these ideas and things we have contact with in this world. Let me tell you a little story. Don't mind me telling you this story. Many years ago, it was, I think, what, 1984, we were raising funds to build Radharadnath Temple in Durban. And me and another devotee, we were raising funds in Cape Town. And we had a spot which we paid for in a shopping center in the center downtown Cape Town. It's called the Golden Acre. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Anyway, it's a big shopping center right by the main street of Cape Town. So then we were there every day for about a month or 5 weeks or even 6 weeks maybe, raising funds. We had our spot, and every day we would just go there. But one day they moved us from our spot. They put us next to the, I think it's called Musica. It's a record or music CD shop, that sort of thing. And they put us right next to that place. And that day, in that record shop, the people there, they played one song the whole day, again and again and again and again. You know, say it's a 3 minute song, so that means 20 times an hour for, say, 8 hours. So that's 160 times for the day. And we were right there. And we just heard this song. And we just heard the song. You couldn't really avoid it. And it was Stevie Wonder. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Stevie Wonder. And the song was called, I Just Called to Say I Love You. You familiar with that? No? You're not familiar with that? Good. Just let me tell you another funny little thing in that regard. You know, we've got this book, Chant and Be Happy. You seen that? And on the cover there's John Lennon, George Harrison, you know, from my days. Very famous. Just hugely famous, and Srila Prabhupada. So a few months ago, or less than a year ago, one devotee was distributing books somewhere, and he met some youngish, you know, sort of 20-ish aged young person, gave him the book, and the usual thing is to show, look, John Lennon, George Harrison, they're interested in these things. And the people think, oh, okay, that's important. So the devotee gave him the book, and the fellow's looking at the book, and devotee pointed to the book, and devotee said, you know who these people are, right? And the person looks at the book, and he points to John Lennon and George Harrison, and he says, I don't know who these two guys are, but this one, he's the head of the Hare Krishna movement. So anyway, back to Cape Town and Stevie Wonder. So we were there the whole day, from like 9 till 6, something like that. And we heard that song non-stop. And then afterwards, we were staying in Rondebosch area, I think. We took the train. So on the train, we chant on our beats. So there I am, now I'm on the train, I'm chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And suddenly, in my mind, I just called. And I thought, no, I don't. So I kicked it out of my mind, back to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And, you know, 30 seconds later, I just called. You know, I'd heard it so much. It had made an impression on my mind. Even though, and I'll be honest, I was never a Stevie Wonder fan. He was around when I was, you know, a young fellow. I was never interested in Stevie Wonder. And I didn't like that song. But I just heard it so much, so much, so much that day, that it was just, I became a little conditioned. And I had to kick it out. And then it came back, and kick it out again. And it came back, and kick it out again from my mind. So this is the thing, that we are conditioned by the different experiences we've had and things we've been exposed to in this world. They've all made impressions. But this level that Krishna's talking about here, the devotee has completely gone beyond those things altogether. And there's never any question of some material thing coming into the mind. They're simply thinking of Krishna. And even you could say, they cannot stop thinking of Krishna. A classic example of that, of course, in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, classic example is the gopis. The gopis, Krishna's cowherd girlfriends. When Krishna left Vrindavan, they were feeling great separation. And if you read the Bhagavatam, you'll see there are different descriptions of discussions they had. And in one discussion, one gopi says to the others that, you know, Krishna, he left us. He's not thinking of us. He went to Mathura. He's enjoying there. He's forgotten us. So we should forget him. And all the other gopis said, yeah, right, let's forget Krishna. Yeah, we're going to forget Krishna. And one gopi said, you know what? I'm going to forget how Krishna danced with us. And another gopi said, right, I'm going to forget how he played the flute for us. Another gopi said, right. And another gopi said, I'm going to forget how he stole our clothes. And another devotee said, right, I'm going to forget how he spoke with us. And they realized they couldn't forget him. They just couldn't forget him. Even though they, at least in terms of the pastime there, they were thinking, we want to forget him. We're going to try to forget him. They couldn't. They couldn't. That's this level here. And, you know, with all due respect, to all of you nice devotees sitting here, I don't think any of you or us are on that level. I don't think so. Excuse me for saying that. I just don't think so. Because it's very advanced. You cannot do anything except think of Krishna. Nothing else. So then Krishna says, that was verse 8. In verse 9, Krishna says, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Now this, because we are not on that level of spontaneously thinking of Krishna, but generally speaking, for those who are trying to practice Krishna consciousness and who would like to be devotees, this, what's being described now, this is what we should actually be trying to do. If you cannot just think of Krishna under all circumstances, then practice sadhana bhakti. Follow the different principles, rules, regulations. Do this, don't do that. All these different things. Practice doing that. And in this way you cultivate that attraction to Krishna. And eventually you'll come to that level where you're just remembering him. So, yeah, like I said, this is, generally speaking, at least for devotees who are initiated or who would like to be, not just for the sake of getting a spiritual name and being recognized as a devotee, but actually you want to be a devotee, become a real devotee. Then this is what we should be trying to do. Follow the process of sadhana bhakti. Follow the rules and regulations, the do's and the do nots. And in this way, we'll become free from all those old habits. Old habits die hard, but they die. Yeah. They die hard, but they die. If you're serious about cultivating Krishna consciousness. So, like, just as an example, Prabhupada discusses in different places, like, for example, in the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, I don't know how many of you have read Nectar of Devotion, but in the early stages, Prabhupada talks about this, that in order to practice Krishna consciousness, develop Krishna consciousness, then you have to follow the instructions given in scripture, like Bhagavad Gita, and given by the spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gives the example that in order to cultivate Krishna consciousness positively, you should, and there are different things you should do, but one thing is, you should get up early and chant. Yeah. Should get up early and chant. Now, sometimes when the alarm rings early, as long as it rings early, sometimes when the alarm rings, the mind may say no. In fact, the mind may not just say no, but the mind may say, oh no, and try and switch it off and roll over and sleep more. But if you want to cultivate Krishna consciousness, even though your mind says no, I don't want to get up now, But you should do it. You should do it. Because it will help you cultivate Krishna consciousness to use that early morning time when the atmosphere is most suitable for chanting and spiritual cultivation. So we should get up early, even though the mind objects. This is the idea of sadhana bhakti that Prabhupada, and not only Prabhupada, but all of our great acharyas, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the six Goswamis, even Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they've all agreed on these different rules and regulations, like this one I'm just mentioning, to get up early. There's so many, but this is one. They all agree, you must get up early in order to develop your spiritual life. So sadhana bhakti, sadhana means to practice, like to learn, to practice, means you're not expert, you're learning, you're just sort of trying to get into it. So sadhana means practice, and bhakti of course means devotional service or Krishna consciousness. So sadhana bhakti then, it means that we should follow these different rules, like get up early, we mentioned, like chant on the beads so many times, like follow the regulative principles, like read the books, like preach, tell other people about these things. These are all different rules which we should do in order to become nicely situated in Krishna consciousness. And we should do those things even though the mind may object. Even though the mind may sometimes not agree, but still we shouldn't listen to the mind. We should do these things. This is what sadhana bhakti is. The practice, the cultivation of devotional service. So if you do that, then gradually you get used to it. Like as an example, learning to drive a motor car. I imagine some of you know how to drive a motor car. And at first, you don't know what to do. But they tell you, you know, you must put it in gear and do this and that. And then eventually, gradually, you come to the point where you can practically drive the car with your eyes closed. Just don't try and do that. But you know what I mean. You're so used to it, you don't have to think. You know, how do I start it? Oh, key. Where does key go? Ah, key goes here. You don't have to think. You just do it. And it's just... So... when we practice, when we follow sadhana bhakti, these rules and regulations, do this, don't do that, then gradually we get used to living in a Krishna conscious way, and it gradually becomes more and more natural. And then gradually means actually after quite some time, then you can come to the level mentioned in the first verse, where you just think of Krishna always. It takes time, but step by step, you move in that direction. So this is something very important And we all, as devotees or people who are trying to become qualified as devotees, we should do that. And the more you do it, and the more you make the effort to do it, the quicker you get into it, and the nicer it becomes, quicker. Like, just, here's another example. Srila Prabhupada told us to chant minimum 16 rounds. Right, not 15. Some people ask, why 16? Why not 15? Why not 17? Why 16? And, you know, we may not be able to understand why 16 is emphasized, but someone like Srila Prabhupada, who's an expert, and he knows how everything works, then he knows that, listen to this, devotees, it's a little bit like, at least an example that illustrates the idea. If you want to drive from here to Durban, if you want to drive from here to Durban for the Rath Yatra, yeah, then you need a minimum amount of petrol. If you have more than the minimum, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. But at least you need the minimum amount, and then you'll be able to drive and reach Durban. But if you have less than the minimum amount, then you'll be driving, and then at some point along the road, you'll run out, and there you'll be stuck out in the highway somewhere. You'll be stuck, you know, to Maritzburg or wherever it is, somewhere down the road. You'll be stuck because you ran out. So similarly, in order to get through the day from morning till night in Krishna consciousness, so your mind does not start, you know, maybe later in the day becoming weaker and starting to drift off to meditate on material things. In order for your mind to have the strength to get through the day in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada, in his, you know, in his expertise, he understood 16 rounds is the minimum. If you do, you know, even if you only do one round, it's a lot better than nothing. But if you do less than 16, if you do 8, I mean, 8 is nice. We're not criticizing at all. But we're just saying, if you do 8, then you may get sort of halfway through the day, and then your mind will lose its spirituality, its spiritual strength, and will become more easily influenced by material things. You see? But we would not know that, because we are not expert. But Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, and like Lord Chaitanya and so on, they know these things. So therefore they've given us these different do's and do nots, which make up the way of life of Krishna consciousness. And if you do the right things which they say to do, you get great spiritual benefit and inspiration. And if you avoid doing the things they say that you should not do, then you'll avoid those things which could drag you down. And confirmation. So like this, you'll be able to remain Krishna conscious. Otherwise, if it was just up to us, you know, I remember when I was a very new devotee, I'd been a devotee about a few weeks, living in the temple in London. And, you know, it's a long story, but I got to spend a day with one very senior devotee. I was driving him around. And the whole day, he just preached to me, just non-stop. It was amazing. And one thing, I told him, you know, all these rules and regulations, it's a bit confusing sometimes. Am I meant to remember all these rules, or, you know, it's going to be difficult? And he told me, don't worry, really, there's only one rule. That is, always remember Krishna and never forget him. Just follow that rule. And I thought, wow, that sounds good. I'm going to do that. But then I found it wasn't so easy to do that. And there's a verse. It's quoted in Nectar of Devotion. It's from Padma Purana. There's a verse. What is it? Smartavya satatam Vishnua Vismartavyo Najartu Chit Sarve Vidhi Nasheda Sua Etayor Eva Kinkara. What that means is satatam Smartavyo satatam Vishnua. Always remember Krishna. Vismartavyo Na Jatu Chit. Never forget him. Sarve vidhi nishedasya. Vidhi means rules. All the rules and regulations. Etayor eva kinkara. Kinkara means friend. Friend in the mood, like servant friend. So what the verse is saying. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. All the rules and regulations are simply servants of that one rule. Yeah. So this is sadhana bhakti. And we all, as aspiring devotees, we should try to be familiar with the rules and regulations and try and follow them. And they'll keep us in Krishna consciousness, and we'll be able to avoid getting distracted. Now, Krishna goes on though. I'll just say a few words about these other ones. If you can't do that, because there's some people, they like Krishna. They like Krishna consciousness. But follow the four regulative principles, they can't do it. Even they may try, but they can't do it. Chant 16 rounds a day every day, it's a bit too much for them. So, Krishna says, if you can't practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, then just try to work for me. Like we've got, for example, here around Joburg, Durban Moor, we got a lot of people particularly from Indian backgrounds, or not only, but particularly, and they like Krishna consciousness. They really like it. But they're working people, or they're business people, and somehow they just get so caught up in their daily activities. They just can't chant much. or they can't follow some of the regulative principles. We had a man like that here, Ray. Do you remember Ray? Pastor Ray? Ray was really nice. He lived in Soweto, right? Ray lived in Soweto. He was a businessman. And he really liked Krishna consciousness. And he was just a really nice fellow. Unfortunately, he died. Oh, that was a great shame. But, and he did many things, right? He did many things to help. He sponsored different things. And, you know, financial help and all that. But in terms of following all the principles, chanting 16 rounds, getting up early, and all these types of things, he just couldn't really do it. So, some people are like that. Of course, we should encourage people to follow the principles. But if they like Krishna consciousness, but they can't maintain those standards, then we shouldn't, you know, like pressurize them and try and force them. Just encourage them. Okay. Then you support, help, do service. Maybe give financial support if you can, and come to the programs, these types of things. And then generally the idea would be gradually they'll become able, they'll come to a higher level. And then Krishna says, if you are unable to work for him, then at least try to renounce something. Give some charity. Don't be just fully attached. So this is another level down. So this is very interesting how Lord Krishna explains these things here. But you all of you, I don't know all of you. Maybe I know half of you. Something like that. Those of you who I know, like Esther, for example, I know that you are capable of maintaining these standards of the regulative principle. At least, you know, even though it may sometimes be a little difficult, but if you apply yourselves, then you'll be able to do it. And then that will help you progress. That will really help you progress. And progress means you'll be very happy in Krishna consciousness, and you'll become free from anxiety. You'll just wake up. I remember when I first got involved, 1973, one morning I woke up and I realized, hey, I don't have any anxieties. What happened? Because I had plenty of anxieties. Oh, it was too much. It was just much too much. And I just realized, hey, I don't have any anxieties because of Krishna consciousness. This is really wonderful. And that's how to live. Who wants to live in anxiety about, you know, work and materialistic people and what's going on in this world? You know, Mr. Zuma and Mr. Trump. I mean, who wants to worry about stuff like this? It's just a big distraction. So if we maintain these standards, chanting the principles, engaging in service regularly, etc., then we'll be very happy, blissful, and free from anxiety. And it's just so nice. That's Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now just one thing. Just hang on a sec. Just let me do a time check. You know what I was told? You know what I was told? And I do already know to some degree through personal experience. But also I was told that the devotees in Soweto, Meadowlands, Zone 2, are very intelligent. What do you think of that? That's what they told me. That's what they told me. And Zone 7, right? 7? And Zone 7 too. Are very intelligent and very thoughtful, and you know, they think about Krishna consciousness. And they told me that the devotees from Soweto have many questions nowadays because they're very thoughtful. Okay, so I'll give you a chance. Anyone got a question, comment? Anything they'd like to say? Any point they'd like to raise? Now's the time. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for that class. Me personally, it was very relevant. I think any class is relevant, given my circumstances. I think my observational, it is an observation, but it's also a question, is that, you know, much as what one tries or endeavors to certain principles in Hare Krishna movements. You know, you meet some bumps along the road and so on, yeah. You know, be it that you're initiated or what have you. You know, and how does one firstly respond to that kind of bump along the road? And what does one then do to somehow or other, you know, ratify that, okay. That situation?
That's okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, of course, because we're very conditioned. And now we're getting into this Krishna consciousness. And it's kind of like we are contradicting our material upbringing and our material experiences. We're now going in another direction in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, it's inevitable. There'll be bumps or challenges or obstacles or ups and downs and so on. But the thing is this, that if we take shelter of Krishna, if we take shelter of the devotees, particularly the more senior devotees, ultimately the spiritual master, then whatever the bump or challenge or obstacle may be, we will be able to get a solution. Because there is no problem in Krishna consciousness which there is not a solution for, and a good solution, like an easy solution. Yeah. But it's just because in the early days we're not so used to it, and so we don't just know that, oh, here's this problem, so I just do that. So this is where the association of devotees comes in, particularly more senior devotees, where we can raise our questions and our doubts and our problems and get guidance. And then the next time that type of problem comes, then you know, okay, now I do this, and then you overcome it. So, yes, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means all questions answered, all problems solved. And if you don't know the solution, ask someone who does. Yeah. And because the society of devotees is big, you know, even just here in Johannesburg area, there are hundreds of devotees, or thousands even. And there's quite a number of more senior and more experienced devotees. So therefore, you can always get answers to your questions. Yeah. And even sometimes, I mean, of course we should do, when there's some challenge or hiccup in things, we should pray to Krishna. And Krishna will, through the heart also sometimes, give some inspiration. And then we'll understand, oh yes, okay, I should do that. So through the guidance of the devotees, particularly the more senior devotees, and ultimately the spiritual master, and then through the guidance of the Lord within the heart, you will not find a problem that you cannot overcome as long as you're sincere. If a person is not sincere, they don't really want to be Krishna conscious. They're just here for the food, or they're just here to get a girl or a boy. And, you know, they've just got some other idea. Then, even if there's an insignificant problem, that'll be enough to just take them away. But for someone who's genuine, who's sincere, and who applies themselves like this, then even some drastic situation, dangerous situation, but they'll find a solution and they'll carry on happily in Krishna consciousness. There was a godbrother of mine, disciple of Prabhupada, named Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who you wouldn't have heard of, but he was British, he was Irish. He passed away, unfortunately, about 10 years ago. But anyway, one time he asked Prabhupada, will Krishna ever give a devotee a test which is so severe that the devotee will just not be able to pass the test, and, you know, and then, you know, will fall down on us, get into a really bad situation? And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna will not do that. Krishna will send tests and challenges and so on. But what he's really doing in sending those things, he's really trying to help you to develop. Yeah. Because ultimately the time of death will come, and that's a challenge. That's like the big challenge. So in the meantime, we get the smaller challenges, so we get used to dealing with challenges in Krishna consciousness. And then when that final challenge comes, we'll be able to deal with that. Yeah? So, yeah, that's what I'd say. And, you know, it's good what you're doing, this idea which you mentioned earlier of starting the regular program. It's very good that you do that and regularly discuss Bhagavad Gita and discuss the philosophy. And when questions do arise, which they probably will, which, you know, amongst yourselves immediately, you cannot yourself solve. So then you address other more senior devotees. So if you cultivate and develop this type of program, all the devotees, and many people who are not devotees yet, but they're going to become, will really develop and become like spiritually mature people. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, I don't know if you, did you know him? Okay. Bhakti Tirtha Swami is another one who passed away, unfortunately. He said that when I see that some test is coming, some difficulty is coming, he said, I think, here comes Krishna in the form of a test. So he would embrace those things and not think that, oh no, it's some difficulty, oh, you know, how can I escape it? It's like educational experience. Good question.
So, thank you for your answer, Maharaj. I think the a lot of times we talk about, you know, the scriptures and the Bible and so on, but on a more glorifying level, as opposed to you know, the reality of what people go through and the reality of the challenges that we do face on a daily basis. And I think your answer right now has shown me that these are things that need to be spoken more or need to be dealt with more, you know, in the open.
Right.
Thank you so much.
I remember being present, 1973. Prabhupada was in Bhaktivedanta Manor in near London. And Prabhupada said that, just like this microphone, when it was manufactured, the manufacturer, along with manufacturing it, he produced the instruction manual at the same time, not later on, at the same time, it's part of the package. So similarly, at the time of creation of this world, Krishna is given, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the scriptures, they're the instruction manuals. They're not just sort of interesting cultural literatures, but they're practical. They're instruction manuals. How to do it, how to become Krishna conscious. And if you study with that sort of perspective in mind, you learn so much. Oh, yeah. You learn so much. I would see what they told me was right. The devotees in Soweto are very intelligent. Anyone else? Any other point? Yeah?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Generally, when it comes to Krishna conscious way of life, we sort of have this tendency of thinking that this is not a way of life, it's some sort of an activity where that you can just abandon and do something else. I don't know if you understand my question.
Just repeat it.
I mean, some of the people that have been in the movement and they've left the movement, they sort of have an idea that they don't realize that this is a way of living.
Okay.
And then they sort of take it as some sort of an activity.
Okay.
Maybe like playing a football and stuff like that. And I've left football and I've left something else.
Yeah, sure. Mm. Well, look, many come, but not all stay. That's just life. You know, unfortunately, many come, but they don't all stay. So, but part of it is that if we, or you particularly, yourselves, if you learn Krishna consciousness more and how to apply it and how people can deal with this situation, that situation, different situations in life, in Krishna consciousness, the more you become knowledgeable and like mature in your understanding, the more you'll be able to help more of these people who otherwise would just go out the door. Yeah. The more you develop, you'll find the greater percentage of people who come with, you know, whatever interest they have, but the more you'll be able to help them become devotees. And yeah, even people will come who are not serious. They're not actually really interested. Some will come just because they like the food. But if you learn how to deal with them nicely, you'll be able to help them to see beyond that and actually become devotees. Yeah. This is the value, the practical value of devotees becoming more mature and developing more understanding and just developing more practical knowledge of how Krishna consciousness works. Then you can convey that to more people. And then you'll get all sorts of people who come for all sorts of different reasons. But then you're going to find they actually start becoming more serious about Krishna consciousness. Yeah, because you were able to help them more. So, and it's fun. You know, it's real fun. Krishna conscious fun. Convincing people who've got other ideas, you know, but helping them to see how their other ideas are not really so good. And that Krishna consciousness, you know, has better ideas. It's so nice to see people, you know, thinking, yeah, actually, you're right. And then they become devotees. So, you've got a great mission in front of you. And part of it, as you develop, part of it is going to be more people are going to become devotees and more people are going to stay devotees. And, like, percentage-wise, less are going to just go off and disappear, yeah, into material life. So that's another good point, very good point. So much depends. I mean, it's easy to say that, oh, him, you know, he was just interested in the food. So he left. Oh, what can you expect? He was only interested in the food. It's easy to say that, but it's not so easy to recognize that, you know, he came because he was interested in the food. But if I had dealt with him better, I could have got him interested in Krishna. Yeah. You know, take more responsibility for what happens to the people who come. You know, because very few people come because they want the truth in life. They want to surrender to God. Not so many people come feeling this is what they want. Usually people come for, you know, different reasons. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.